Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Lindsay.
And this is the Hideaway Podcast, episode 19.
Dees Nif. I've been taking French classes online.
It's paying off.
Josh took me on a surprise date night.
Last Friday.
And we went to a weird warehouse in Red Hook, Brooklyn. And I was like, where the heck is he taking me? And then it ended up being a new mini golf course.
Shipwrecked mini golf, to be specific.
Shipwrecked mini golf. It was fun. It was like interactive. And you could spend an extra $5 to get these 6 tokens that would basically start interactive moments in the mini golf. And basically the storyline is this captain, the ship captain, like pirate, I guess, is looking for treasure. He's a ghost. He got shipwrecked. So he died. So now he's a ghost. And clearly the story kind of went over my head a little bit. But then like someone else is trying to find the treasure and we need to find the treasure before she does.
By playing 18 holes of mini golf.
Like the story doesn't totally make sense now that I'm like recounting it, but it is a really fun course.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it on Gothamist this week. So I was like, ooh, fun, mini golf. Lindsay and I like mini golf. But I thought what was coolest about it was just what a great job they did theming the space. Like there's 4 different rooms. One room's underwater. And you go through like a submarine at one point.
Yeah, and then you're like on an island.
Yep, and then you're on a volcano. What's the volcano? Skullcano.
Skullcano.
And then it ends in Coney Island in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And you play mini golf on a fake subway car.
Which is fun. But I definitely am the champion of mini golf.
I think we need a recount.
I don't think so.
I only counted that once. Lindsay won 52-50, and she was the one counting, so...
Well, you were the one telling me the numbers, so.
Well, there you go.
Well, we can recount it later.
So something that was in the news this week was how Cirque du Soleil's Broadway show, Paramore, is going dark for 4 days.
4 whole days!
4 whole days.
That's like an eternity in Broadway.
Yeah, I thought this was awesome because the way that Broadway shows tend to work is that it will change all the way until opening night, which is when the critics come and the reviews are released and you have the big opening night party. And after that, the show is fixed. It does not change. It stays the same. And the goal is to keep it the same as long as you can.
Well, I think the only other show that's done something like this is Spider-Man. But I think they closed for like, I don't remember how long, but it was a good amount of time and they redid the entire show.
But what's interesting is that this is so common for Cirque du Soleil. Like they do this for all of their shows where after opening it for a while, they'll close it for a couple of days and go back in and change the story or change the acts. I know they're putting in a new duo unicycle act that cool. I'm pretty excited to see, but I think it's a really smart move. They said they budgeted for it. You know, this is all part of their plan. And obviously, they're not going to get re-reviewed or anything. But I think if there's a good reason to make your show stronger, tighter, mm-hmm. cleaner, why not do it?
I guess if you have the money, why not? But I think the reason most shows don't do it is because most shows on Broadway don't have a corporation like Cirque du Soleil behind it. So any lost revenue is like a huge hit to all of the investors. And the Broadway rental rate is ridiculous per week. So if you're missing 4 full days of performances, you know, that's quite the chunk of change. But for Cirque du Soleil, where it's like, okay, well, this is just something that we're going to do and it's not really that effective or that it doesn't affect our pockets that much, then, like, I think it's awesome that they're doing it.
Well, let us know what you think. Write us an email, hello@hideawaycircus.com. Comment on this on Facebook or on the blog post. Now, let's get this conversation going.
And only support my point of view. No, just kidding.
Something that we did this week that I really, really enjoyed was we're currently, you know, Lindsay is doing all of the costume and scenic design for our upcoming show Slumber at the House of Yes.
Yeah.
And this weekend, as they have every couple of weekends, they had a costume
extravaganza
sale where lots of Brooklyn local fashion designers and costume designers set up shop in their theater, and you can walk around and see what people have on sale.
Yeah. And basically everyone was like, are you going to Burning Man? And I was like, no, that's almost my nightmare, but I think we definitely need to do it at one point. But the costumes are so perfect for if you're going to Burning Man. So if anyone's like, I need to go to Burning Man, you should go to this costume sale. It was perfect. I mean, it was cool because it's all, you know, handmade costumey stuff or stuff that they've gotten and they add things to it, like bedazzled moments or like patches.
Yeah. I mean, I would love somebody to give me like a good description of what exactly the Burning Man like
style
is called.
Aesthetic.
Because it's definitely like a really clear.
Yeah. Like artsy.
Not steampunk, but not steampunk. Like, yeah. It's got an interesting vibe to it. But if you're looking for costumes, you're a circus performer, even if it's not for Burning Man and you just need something for your act.
Yeah.
You need something for an upcoming show.
But you can go to their the House of Yes Facebook page because they posted the event and then they listed every costume designer who was there and their website. So you could always go to their website.
So one of the things that Lindsay and I want to do with this podcast is give you sort of an inside look at how we create our shows, our process, both artistically and business-wise, the way we think about things. And we haven't been doing too much of that yet, but what we want to do today is talk about the kinds of music we're using in Slumber and how we picked it and what we like about it and what we think it's bringing to our show.
Something that I've definitely noticed working with you on shows is that most circus shows that I've seen, the music feels like an afterthought unless it's like, you know, specifically created original music for the show.
I mean, I think for most circus performers, picking the right song, or even for circus directors, picking the right song can be a big challenge. Mm-hmm. I've definitely been influenced by many people in the way I think about it. I would definitely cite Seven Fingers. I would cite Spiegelworld for sure. La Soiree, which I guess are mostly variety kinds of shows. And since we don't have the opportunity to have music composed for us for this show, we have to choose from songs that already exist. Mm-hmm. So what we'll do is we'll listen to a song from the show. We'll tell you about the scene and why we like the song and sort of the way in which, you know, we think it plays really well off of what we're going for.
So what scene do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about...
Because we can't give anything too much away.
So the first thing to think about or we think about when trying to pick a song is making sure that it fits in the rest of the sonic palette of the show. So for Slumber, we have a very electro-pop sound to it with all female singers.
Because even though we don't have original music, we're still trying to create a score of music that fits into a show. It's like you're still thinking of it as a score that you're writing, like that you would for any theatrically based with music show, right?
Yeah, exactly. We're pulling what's great about musicals, which is the lyrical tie to the visuals you're seeing. But the challenge for us is that
the consistent sound of the score.
Yes.
Which is something that maybe people, if even in like in Spiegelworld or with La Soiree, where it's like definitely a good match for the act, like they don't, all the music doesn't sound like it's from the same show, you know?
Yeah, not necessarily. Some shows accomplish that, but not everyone. And this one director, Wayne Harrison, who directed Absinthe, does a really interesting thing that I've been trying to emulate in ways, which is picking songs that have lyrics that are at moments spot on to what you're seeing and at moments totally nothing to do with it. Because I think if you hear lyrics that match the action on stage, I think it can be surprising, particularly if you're already familiar with the song. So let's set the scene for this number. We're sort of halfway into the show, a little bit past halfway. We've come back from intermission, and we see three characters, all of whom we've met before, and they're in the bathroom now at this nightclub. And they're all together sort of giggling, and one of them takes out a baggie of drugs, and they're going to do some drugs at the nightclub. And they take the drugs, and the song kicks in.
I can feel my infill, 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 my heart. I can feel my heart racing, I can feel the blood running through my veins, can't move from the ground.
as you can hear from the lyrics, we've already referenced a few things we're seeing. We're referencing the partner aspect of the number. We're representing the sort of drugs kicking in aspect. The music has that electro pop vibe we're looking for. The song has a girl singer in it. So by all accounts, the first verse works. The next challenge for picking a song is, then can it last a whole number? Because I think often what will happen is there'll be sections of a song that are fantastic, and then the song will either go in a completely different direction or slow down or speed up. Or never
go anywhere.
So I was going to say, the worst thing is when it never goes anywhere. Because with a circus act, you want to build it. You want to start somewhere and take the audience somewhere else and ultimately end with something really, really impressive, either because it's an insane trick or a really cool moment or it's a big laugh, but you want to build to something. So let's listen to the chorus and try to listen to how the song builds and introduces new layers of audio as well as an increased pace. Just tell me it's a bad trip now. Just tell me it's a bad trip now. I should have gone home and ignored my phone. Should have walked away, but no, I had to say. Tell me it's a bad trip now. You need to tell me.
Does have like a Diplo kind of sound.
It does have a little, I love Diplo. Yeah. But as you can hear, what happens, that whole sort of pre-chorus, chorus that you hear, it goes quieter and builds up. And this allows me and the performers to choreograph at different speeds. Mm-hmm. So some tricks obviously take a little longer to get into. Some tricks are slower moving tricks. Some tricks are faster moving tricks. And the idea is to have a song that allows you to feature all of those kinds of things. You want to hear the whole song, you want to see
the act,
come see Slumber, opening at the House of Yes, October 6th, 2016. Tickets are on sale at hideawaycircus.com. If you have music you love, music you think we should put an act to, email it to us, hello@hideawaycircus.com. I've been thinking about I make a lot of playlists myself that only Lindsay and I ever hear, but they're usually, I make about one a month, and 10 to 15 songs that I'm inspired by at the moment, or I think would be good for a circus act, or I'm just jamming out to in my car. So if you guys tell us that's something that you want to listen to, we'll start posting those. If not, then it'll just be for...
for me and you.
Me and you to enjoy, in our downtime.
Although even Mari Madrid, who's choreographing the show with her husband, Keone, Mari was saying that Keone and her will still just, listen to the playlists, even though, and just, because it's good music.
Yeah, that's nice coming from them, since they are so good at picking music.
I know.
But just general advice for anybody out there who's trying to find a song. Spotify is the way I do it. I usually use the Discover Weekly, the New Music Fridays, and their themed playlists to search for things. I would stay away from songs that are monotone the whole way through. If they are monotone, but you really, really like aspects of them, then I would encourage you to use more than one song and transition between the two. I would try to use songs that have lyrical content that match what you're doing, or if they don't match it, have some interesting way in which they play off what the audience is seeing.
Or if they don't match it, at least the feel of the song is going towards what you're going for in your act. Because that Animal House. Glass Animals song that we were also thinking about for that act that we were just describing. The lyrics don't necessarily work for the act, but the sound and the feeling that it gives you works to make you feel like you're a little bit high.
Yeah, if you didn't catch what Lindsay meant by that is, we went through multiple song choices to figure out what is the right song for that act, and we had ruled out this one because even though the musical vibe totally fit it, the lyrical content just did not match. And I can't understate how important this is. Most circus performers have very few scenic choices to make. You're usually given the stage you perform on. You can pick your circus prop, but often you can't modify it very much. And the song is just a really great way to make your number more theatrical and add a narrative or add narrative components or add thematic components. I hope this was helpful.
Yeah. So if you like the podcast, make sure to rate us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, tweet us, share us on Facebook, email us at hello@hideawaycircus.com.
Did you say follow us on Instagram?
Follow us on Insta. We're posting some fun stuff.
It's blowing. You know, you gotta start following us. It's blowing up. We've doubled our following in the last week thanks to a lot of new social media content. We've got some awesome photos of our cast, some videos of some of the behind the scenes kind of stuff, including our very own Lindsay Maggot's cover of...
It's like a 9-second cover.
Karma. So if you want to hear her sing, which she's amazing at, check out her Instagram. And if you like to have a breathing in the background, that is our dog.
That's our dog, Indy.
He's on Instagram too. Different handle. @Hudson_and_Indy.
And have a good week.
Bye.